You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, terrorism, terror allegations, and political unrest dominate the news from Chicago to the other side of the world. Explosions in Baghdad this morning kill more than 100 people, according to the latest reports. And bombings in Pakistan over the last 2 days have killed more than 50. Terrorists attacked a market and the offices of Pakistan's security services. And the people of Iran are poised for a possible second day of violent political unrest across college campuses there. But first to Baghdad, we're joined by Jane Araf, correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor in Baghdad. Jane, you've just come back from one of the sites of the bombing. This appears to coincide with what appeared to be yesterday some political reconciliation in Baghdad. What's the situation now?
Well, the situation is, as always in Baghdad, I suppose, one step forward, two steps back sometimes. And this was a coordinated attack, at least four suicide bombings. The site that I went to was a civil courthouse right next to a fine arts academy. So the victims there were ordinary Iraqis who were going to register their cars, get their marriages registered, and government employees. And that's really been the pattern here. One of the things that was fairly unusual since U.S. withdrew its troops from the cities was there was actually a sizable U.S. military presence. It does seem that the Iraqis have realized that they might need some American help in the run-up to these elections when we're expecting more bombings like this.
A sense of vulnerability despite the fact that American soldiers are still there. That's an interesting point.
Absolutely. And vulnerability and that classic Iraqi resilience, the blast hit very close to a primary school and a kindergarten. There are busloads of children who escaped injury, but the windows were blown out nearby. It was certainly terrifying. But the parents there said they were sending their children back to school the next day. Iraqis have sadly become quite used to this.
Amazing. Jane Araf, a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, reporting on a coordinated series of bombings in Baghdad, the worst unrest there in more than a month, killing more than 100 people. And yesterday, as we've already mentioned, a Chicago man, an American citizen named David Coleman Headlee, was charged with helping plot the 2008 terrorist attacks in Mumbai, India. Those attacks a little over a year ago left 163 people dead there and many more seriously injured. What does it mean? How is this arrest an example of something afoot in terrorist trends in the U.S.? Well, joining us once again, Carrie Johnson. She's national security correspondent for The Washington Post. And also joining us is Art Keller, former case officer with the CIA. Art served in Pakistan in 2006. Carrie, you described David Headlee as something of an enigma a few moments ago. How does he stand out from other investigations that we've heard about over the last few years?
Well, mostly, John, because he's an American citizen who traveled freely throughout this country, lived in several different cities, including Philadelphia, New York, and Chicago, operating mostly under the law enforcement radar for most of his 49 years of life. And it's only in October of this year when he was arrested at Chicago's O'Hare Airport on the way for yet another meeting with his handlers in Pakistan that he was taken into custody, where he's been held for a couple months now. We now understand helping authorities get to the bottom of some of these plots in Pakistan and India.
And let's just recall for our listeners, he has been charged, according to an indictment unsealed in Chicago, with helping plot the 2008 terrorist attacks in Mumbai, India. But you describe in your reporting he's had a long relationship with various federal agencies, including the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration.
That's right. He became an informant for the DEA after an arrest in the 90s. And up until 98, was apparently helping them in order to reduce his prison term.
And, you know, what does this say about the targeting of investigations in the United States? And, you know, since 9/11, we've been told that there are various terror cells unearthed in places around the country. I mean, this seems to stand out as very, very different from the kinds of freelance operations we've heard about in the past.
Yeah, on many occasions, investigators have focused their fire on small ragtag bands of would-be terrorists who really didn't have the means to carry out any kind of attack on their own, but maybe were caught in sting operations by the FBI and other law enforcement agencies in the United States. In recent months, we've had David Coleman Headlee and also Najibullah Zazi, the young man who operated in the Denver area and also in New York,
right,
who appear to have very tight contacts overseas, particularly in Pakistan, where there are several different movements, very dangerous movements of terrorists. and also appear to have the means to carry out attacks. In the Headley case, he's charged, in fact, with helping to aid and abet the murder of six Americans last year in Mumbai in attacks that ultimately killed up to 170 people there.
It's a very interesting case. We're talking with Carrie Johnson, who's a national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Art Keller, counter-espionage is nothing new, but what does it mean if federal informants are actually agents for organizations like Al-Qaeda, or in this case, the Lashkar-e-Taiba, the anti-Indian terrorist group, the Pakistani-based anti-Indian terrorist group. Art?
Well, for one thing, it means someone may have missed the forest for the trees and looking past just the narrow application of, is this person going to help us on counter-narcotics, to what is his other affiliations, and why have they been dealing in Pakistan, going to Pakistan, trying to smuggle heroin, as it were, into the United States, which is what first got him on the DEA's radar, drug trafficking being a standard revenue source for terrorists.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the issue I raised at the top of the hour. I mean, is it possible that the whole give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free approach of the United States regarding immigrants creates a favorable environment in that forget the training camps in dusty Afghanistan. If you've got access to the internet and a U.S. passport and can travel around the world, you're of great use to a terrorist organization.
Well, I would definitely concur with that, and that's kind of one of the disturbing questions here. One of Mr. Headley's partners, Tahawar Rana, runs an immigration service, and so part of the question has to be, we know that Lashkar-e-Taiba, one of the groups that he is affiliated with, has helped Al-Qaeda. You have to ask the question in reverse. Has Mr. Rana or Mr. Headley helped Al-Qaeda get people into the U.S. under the cover of that immigration agency?
Well, let's pose that to Carrie Johnson. I mean, is it possible that this investigation is continuing on precisely those questions, Carrie Johnson of The Washington Post?
It's not only possible. U.S. Attorney in Chicago, Pat Fitzgerald, who's known to many of us for investigating Scooter Libby during the last administration, yesterday said this investigation is active and ongoing, and in a strategy that law enforcement does not often pursue. He made quite clear that Headley has been cooperating with authorities for many weeks now, and this case is not even close to being finished.
And can they believe anything he says if they've worked with him as an informant in the past? That you have to ask that question, right, Carrie?
You do, however, in many cases over the years, including cases involving La Cosa Nostra, as long as there's enough corroboration, other witnesses, documentary evidence and the like, to back up the statements of somebody who's already admitted guilt in, say, a murder or a terrorist plot, authorities generally feel confident presenting that to a jury.
Oh, great stuff. Carrie Johnson, national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Art Keller, very quickly, is this a historic turning of the page of a terror homegrown in the United States, really quickly?
Certainly, and for the same reason that Carrie Johnson stated, this was this was the nature of the organization was very well put together. You know, the affiliation with both Lashkar-e-Taiba and another one, Harkat al-Jihad al-Islami, which is also very closely affiliated with Al-Qaeda.
And the details we will definitely keep in focus. Art Keller, former case officer with the CIA, served in Pakistan in 2006. Thanks for that. And now,
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.